Good morning and welcome to worship on this stormy and rainy Sunday morning. Obviously, the inclement weather has prevented a number of our people from being able to get to the church. A number were without power today. So we wish them all and keep them in our prayers. But we're especially glad that all of you were able to join us this morning for worship in this good place. Everyone present is invited to sign one of the pew registers when they are passed later in the service, because this always helps us to know each other better. And if you are a guest, we would especially look forward to meeting you and getting to know you better following the worship service today. Once again, welcome to all. Would you join me now in the call to worship? The Lord is life and light and love. The Lord will hide us in the day of trouble.
He will hide us in his tent. We will not be afraid of our enemies.
The Lord will set us high on a rock.
We will be high up out of harm's way, and we will praise God with shouts of joy.
Come and be in relationship with the Lord our God.
Gracious God, we know that you are a God of light who speaks words of life and community into the shadows of our isolation and the dark corners of our lives. We know that you are a God who challenges us, who calls us from the places where we are comfortable to lead us more deeply into the world you love. As a God of healing, you redeem the broken places of our lives, and you heal the wounded places of the earth. We pray that you would inspire our worship today so that we may be filled and then compelled to share your reconciling love with all the world. Help us never to keep it for ourselves, but to give and share and proclaim as broadly as we can. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
you join with me as together we affirm our faith. We believe in God, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all God's works, and whose will is ever directed to the good of all people. We believe in Jesus Christ, the gift of God's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the divine presence in our lives, through which we constantly know the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should express itself in the service of love, as shown through the example of our Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Good morning, ladies. Has anyone ever asked you all what you wanted to be when you grow up? Have you had? Yeah. What do you say? What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you say? You don't know yet? What do you say, Jacqueline? A dance major. Okay. What about you, Kate? You're not sure yet? That's okay. Well, usually when people answer that question, they answer with a job. Something that they're going to do, like how they work, how they make money. That's usually how people answer that question, or with majors, something like that, Jacqueline. But there are lots of things we can be when we be a what? A vet, okay. But there are lots of things that we can be when we grow up that have nothing to do with how we work or the job that we have. Because no matter what job we have or what we do, or what we like, we will always be children of God, always. And no matter what we're doing, if we are that, if we are children of God, that means that we can share God's love no matter what we're doing. Now, during this season of Epiphany, we've been talking about Jesus starting his ministry. And we talked about how he got baptized. And then last week we talked about how he started teaching and preaching, and he said to people, he said, well, come on, come with me and come do this with me. And one of the stories we're reading today in Matthew, Jesus is starting to pick out his very first disciples. Now, do you know what job some of the first disciples had before they started being disciples? Does anybody want to know? A lot of them were fishermen. Because that's a really popular job that people had back when Jesus was living. And so Simon and Andrew and James and John were all fishermen, which means they spent all of their time looking for fish and catching fish and cleaning fish and selling fish and then starting all over again. So their job was to feed people. That's basically what they did. But when Jesus came to them and said, hey, you all come be my disciples. Come follow me. Leave your nets behind. Leave your fish behind and come with me. Jesus asked them to feed people kind of in a different way. He said, I want you to feed people by giving them something and not fish. I want you to give them and tell them about me and tell them about God, so that you can kind of feed them or give to them in a different way and show them what it looks like to follow God. Now, the good news for us is that we don't have to choose between following God and doing whatever it is we want to do when we grow up. We don't have to choose between being a dance major and being a child of God. And we don't have to choose between being a vet and being a child of God. Or even if we don't know yet, that's okay too. We can be children of God no matter what we do, because we need people to dance, don't we? And we need people to be vets and take care of animals. And we need people to be teachers and doctors and bankers and plumbers and farmers. We need all of those kinds of, that's right, we need ministers too, yeah. We need all those kinds of people and all those kinds of jobs. So I hope that when you grow up, you find a job that you really, really love. But I also hope that whatever you're doing in that job, that you remember that you're a child of God too, and to be that too. Because let's say you were a teacher. If you were a teacher, you can teach, but you can also take care of children and teach people the way that Jesus did. If you're a doctor, you get to heal people and take care of people like Jesus did. If you're a parent, you get to love children the way that God loves us. Or if you're a lawyer or a politician or some kind of other leader, you get to work to help all people the same way that Jesus did. And if you're a student, are you all students right now?
Yes.
Yeah. Then you get to work at your school and treat people the way that Jesus would treat other people. So no matter what you're doing, doesn't matter what it is, we can all work to love people the way God loves people and to treat people the way that Jesus treated people in whatever job we have. So we get to be children of God, not just when we grow up, but right now. Okay, and that's something we can all work on doing. Okay, can we pray together? God, we love being your children, and we pray that you help us to find a way to love other people and be the best of your children that we can be, no matter what it is we're doing in our lives. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson today is taken from Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the first 4 verses, reading from the New Century Version, which is entitled, "For Children, a New Day is Coming." But suddenly there will be no more gloom for the land that suffered. In the past, God made the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali hang their heads in shame. But in the future, those lands will be made great. They will stretch from the road along the Mediterranean Sea to the land beyond the Jordan River and north to Galilee, the land of people who were not Israelites. Before, those people lived in darkness, but now they have seen a great light. They lived in a dark land, but a light has shined on them. God, you have caused the nation to grow and made the people happy. And they have shown their happiness to you like the joy during harvest time, like the joy of people taking what they have won in war, like the time you defeated Midian. You have taken away their heavy load and the heavy pole from their back, and the road and the rod the enemy used to punish them.
Our second lesson this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Thank you. The gospel lesson for today is taken from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 4, and beginning to read with verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the written word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What we are thinking about this morning is the matter of faith joined to ministry. What Peter and James and John and others were able to see in Jesus and their bold willingness to follow in the work of his kingdom. James Whitehead was a famous 20th century Christian theologian who considered the meaning of faith and came up with his own definition of it. He wrote, "Faith is the enduring ability to imagine life in a certain way." I rather like that. Our faith in God as believers in Jesus Christ gives us a different way of thinking about our lives and what God may desire to do in and through them. I think that is exactly what was going on in the experience of these four fishermen we just read about. Consider what their world must have been like. They were common working men, probably without exceptional educations or financial circumstances, men who were accustomed to the hard realities of life, businessmen who pursued the rough and tumble work of casting nets and catching a haul of fish day in and day out, nearly every day of the week. But along comes Jesus, and although we do not know precisely what kind of contact he might have had with them before this episode, Jesus was bold enough to invite them to become partners with him in ministry. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." The most astonishing thing about this entire story, at least to me, is that they did. Peter, Andrew, James, and John all left what they were doing. They literally dropped their nets, which they were either using to cast for fish or they were in the process of repairing. They abandoned their boats. They gave up their investments, their business associates, and they wave goodbye to their family members and friends watching there beside the seashore. And they followed Christ. To me, this story has to be one of the most amazing passages in the entire New Testament. Now, to be sure, this story shows us just how powerful was the presence of Jesus. Jesus apparently could just walk right into a person's world, place demands on his or her life, and expect obedience. And he received it from people precisely like these initial disciples. As the story explains, first it was just a few of them, two of them, then four of them, finally 12 of them. One of the oddest collections of humanity ever assembled, by the way. They would prove at times to be exceedingly slow to learn and extremely hard to teach. They would later argue over which one of them was the greatest disciple. One of them would sell him out, betraying Jesus for a few pieces of silver. And not one of them was willing to remain with Jesus when the going got especially tough. But Jesus saw something in all of them. And as Barbara Lemel has suggested, the fact that they were willing to get up and follow him with their lives was credentials enough. At the same time, let us not ignore the fact that these ordinary, everyday men and women of faith who are described in Scripture were able to see something in Jesus that others could not. Whatever that was that Jesus was offering was worth leaving their old lives for. In the final analysis, they were the ones who could imagine the new challenge of becoming partners in ministry with Jesus. As the great philosopher Joseph Campbell once put it so beautifully, we must be willing to let go of the life we planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us. The Bible just happens to be full of personalities like that. Moses at the burning bush. What is happening here? Mary, the mother of Jesus. How can this be? Peter and Andrew and James and John leaving their nets and following Jesus. It is as if all of them must have thought, now God, I don't begin to understand everything involved here, all that this entails. And on the surface, this new enterprise doesn't yet make a great deal of sense to me. But I believe that you are in this. And because I believe that, I want to say yes. They did, and the partnership was begun. Faith is deciding to think about life in a certain way. It is to receive and to embrace God's purpose for your life. It is to be able to see your own ministry. It is to have an experience with Jesus Christ and to be so changed by it that you begin to look at the rest of the world and the rest of your own life in different ways. Like St. Francis of Assisi and his life-altering experience with a person who had leprosy. It changed him. And in the process of changing him, it opened up new ways of ministry in the name of Christ. Like Peter and Andrew and James and John, who after meeting Jesus could imagine life now lived within a new partnership. Ernest T. Campbell once served as pastor of the Great Riverside Church in New York City, and it was during that time period that I heard him give us a series of lectures at Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. It was either in one of those chapel addresses or in an article that he published about the same time that he first pointed out to me that there is a great difference between believing in Jesus and following him. Campbell said this truth came home to him for the first time as he was reading a book entitled Christology at the Crossroads by the Salvadoran Jesuit priest John Sobrino. He was reading along in that book, and suddenly Campbell says, the author blew most of my theological ducks out of the water. It was because of this one question which Sobrino asked. Are you following Jesus or are you believing in Christ? Most of us know what it means to be asked whether or not we believe in Jesus. And usually the person putting that question to us is trying to find out if we hold to a certain set of beliefs about Jesus as Savior and Lord, or trying to determine whether or not we adhere to a fixed set of church doctrines concerning Jesus as the second person in the Holy Trinity, the Son of God. But as Ernest Campbell points out, there is a world of difference between believing some things about Jesus and following him with your life. In point of fact, following Jesus is one of the truly dominant themes of the whole New Testament. The Greek word most often translated as follow is the word akaluthēo, and it appears no less than 87 times in the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can believe in Jesus and not change a single thing, but following Jesus will change your entire life. Campbell puts it this way. Following Jesus affects your lifestyle, your attitudes, your values, your actions, your surrender. I like very much the way Presbyterian minister Eugene Bay describes this change in Christian disciples. His words, following Christ today means facing up to and not walking away from the problems and pains of our society, the homeless, the hungry and the hopeless, the children who are abused and the aged who are neglected, the teenage girls who are having children, the teenage boys walking into schools with guns, the people who are dying with AIDS, the prisons that are chock full. Any who takes seriously Jesus' entreaty, follow me, will not be able to ignore these contemporary versions of the least and lost, the sinners and outcasts whom Jesus said he came to seek and to save. Those who follow Jesus will have to ask themselves, where are my responsibilities as a Christian for these neighbors? Another commentator poses these questions for himself, and by extension, poses them for all of us. If I'm following Jesus, why am I such a good insurance risk? If I'm following Jesus, why, when I have done my giving, have I so much left over for myself? If I'm following Jesus, why do my closets bulge when so many are unclothed? If I'm following Jesus, why do I have so many friends among the affluent and so few among the poor? If I'm following Jesus, why do I have so much privacy in a world that is starved for love? If I'm following Jesus, why am I tempted to overeat in a world where so many beg bread? If I'm following Jesus, why am I getting on so well in a world that marked him out for death? Perhaps this is what God desires of all of us this morning, every one of us, and every church involved in the work of his kingdom. God may want us to think in terms of our lives, taking on some new dimension, casting the net of our faith upon God for the very first time, thinking creatively about how we might give our lives away in service to others, reaching out to include another person with our love and our concern and friendship, doing something generous or risky or even foolish for the sake of the kingdom of God and what God is attempting to do in the world, or perhaps just by our being faithful. It is to say to Jesus Christ, I don't completely understand this new venture of faith, but I believe that you are in it, and I want to say yes. At the heart of it all, it is a matter of saying yes to Jesus Christ and becoming his partner in faith and ministry. I wonder this morning how many of us in this room may be able to see ourselves serving as disciples of Jesus in some startling and new way. Let us never forget that we are, all of us, ministers of Jesus Christ, and let us never neglect our calling as partners in the ministry which bears his name. To all of us, Jesus says, follow me. Thanks be to God for such a good gift. And let us pray. We give you thanks, our Father, for these moments together. You have called us first in the experience of salvation, inviting us to be reconciled to you by your Son, Jesus Christ. Allow us this morning to hear your voice once again as you call us to be your partners in ministry, bidding us come and follow you in our world. Help us to listen and to respond this morning to the glory of our Christ, who is our Savior and the Lord of all. Amen. believing as we do that our God always is faithful to hear us as we pray. Let us join our hearts together now as we pray silently, and then as we offer the prayers of God's people this day. Let us pray. O God of light, through the power of the cross, you shattered our darkness, scattering the fears that bind us and setting us free to live as your children. Give us courage and conviction today that we may joyfully turn and follow you into new adventures of faithful service, led by the light that shines forever through Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Father of all mercies, we believe that you will be as faithful in time to come as you have been in years gone by. We praise you for goodness undeserved and for gifts received which we cannot begin to number, for life and health and loving friends, for work and leisure, for health and home and family, for all grand things you give. We thank you, Lord and God. Above all else, we praise you for Jesus Christ, who lifts our hopes and leads us in your way. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, on this weekend in which we have experienced in the inauguration of new national leaders, we remember to pray for our new president, Donald Trump, and for our new vice president, Mike Pence. We ask that you grant them strength and compassion and humility and temperance, and the wisdom to fulfill their responsibilities to this great nation. May they recognize that we are a diverse and at times divided country, and may they look to you for guidance in all that they do in the days ahead. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Lord, whose dearly beloved Son was for our sakes willing to bear sorrow and death, grant to us such a measure of your Holy Spirit that we may follow Jesus Christ in courage and self-denial, and help us by your great love to comfort the afflicted, to relieve the needy and destitute, and to see your face in all who are poor. Especially this morning, we would pray for Will and Joan, for Gerald and Mary Alice, and for the families of Billy and Pam and Brenda in their recent losses of family members to death. Bless them all. Lord, in your mercy. redeeming Lord, forgive our past sins, and do not let our evil cripple or shame us. Instead, lead us into the bright future you have for us, free from sin, free to love, and ready to work for your Son. We pray this morning using the words he taught to his first disciples when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
As we make our offering today, let us remember that we give and work and love on behalf of Christ's whole and undivided body on the earth. And let us celebrate that unified body by offering our gifts and ourselves to Christ's work in the world.
Thank you.
us pray. Gracious God, we dedicate these gifts and offerings to you today, and we pray that these acts of giving may inspire other ways that we may serve your people, giving special attention to those who are most in need of your nourishing spirit. Multiply our gifts and our efforts, and make it so that your love be revealed on earth as it is in heaven. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
The invitation to Christian discipleship is extended now, as it is every Sunday of the year from this pulpit. What better day than today to profess your own faith in Jesus Christ and to follow him with your life, or to come expressing a desire to unite with his church, which meets in this place. As we sing the hymn of the people, and as you respond, we would receive you this day with great joy. Each Sunday, we are pleased to welcome those who worship with us as guests, and
This morning we have two friends, Jenny and Andy Daniel. I'll bet that's the two of you right there. Boy, you need some kind of award today for braving the weather, as so many have been impacted by that today. But thank you for joining us. Our people will want to speak to you following worship. And if you are another guest hiding out there somewhere, know how important you are to us as well. We also welcome this morning to the world, I guess for the first official time, a son, Ellis Vandiver Poole, born to Scott and Tiffany Poole on January 14th. They are in Statesboro, not here today, but they're two very proud grandparents sitting back there on the last pew. I know that they are thrilled, and we are as well. Ellis joins an ever-growing contingent of good young ones born into the life of our church over these last two or three years, and we welcome him gladly to the world. The flower here on the communion table is in his honor today. Quickly, by way of announcement, all of you are invited to join us for the congregational luncheon, which follows this worship service. We have, believe me, plenty of food. You can eat two or three times, probably, and take some home. We hope you will. Following the meal, we will have our annual church conference with a number of reports to hear on the mission and ministry of our church in the past year, so we hope that all of you will join us. On Wednesday night of this week, we will gather for a fellowship dinner at 5 o'clock, followed by activities for all age groups in the life of our church. During the adult study time this week at 6 p.m., note 6 p.m., we will follow up last week's viewing of the brand new documentary, The Disturbances, from Baptist Center for Ethics, with a panel discussion on the continuing problem of global genocide. Abraham Ding, one of the lost boys of the Sudan, who is well known to our congregation, and also Vera Hoffman, a local Holocaust survivor, will be here to participate as our special guest on the panel. So we hope that you'll invite someone, a friend or family member or neighbor, make reservations for the meal, and to join us on Wednesday night if you are able. And now, as we prepare to leave this good place, would you receive the benediction and the response by the choir? Let us pray. Life is short, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who make the journey with us. So, be swift to love, and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of God, who made us, who loves us, and who travels with us, be with you, now and forever. Amen.